the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, we're up to verse 21 of chapter 15. So we're in Matthew 15, reading verses 21 to 28. And even though it might be a familiar story to some of you, I want you to think about this question as we read. Why does Jesus say these things? Why does he start out being silent? And why does he say the things that he does? Because Jesus, in his parables, has been surprising people. He has been reversing their expectations. And Jesus is a master teacher, and he also knows people's hearts. So he says some things to this woman that don't seem, when you read them quickly, to be consistent with the way he's treated with other people in the past. Why is he behaving this way towards this woman? Verse 21, this is the word of God. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is greatly vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The precious word of the living and the true God. A true passage to wrestle with if you consider the work of Jesus Christ. People come up to him and they ask for healing and he heals them. He even has been healing people who just touched the hem of his garment. Yet when this woman comes to Lord Jesus Christ, he treats her very differently. That's what we need to think about, and that's what we need to try to understand. The Lord Jesus has departed. He's withdrawn. He's gone from the place where he was to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He's now in Gentile territory. He's done this before. In chapter 12 and verse 15, he did it because of opposition. In chapter 14 and verse 13, he did it in light of the death of John the Baptist. Jesus is going somewhere else. We don't know all of his reasons, but we do know that he is in Gentile territory and that someone who comes up to him from that territory is from the region where the enemies of God's people were. The Bible, in only this place, in verse 22, uses the word Canaan. It's a word that was out of use at that time, but it represented the ancient enemies of God's people, the people of the land that Joshua is going into as we read and study Joshua in the evenings. The land filled with milk and honey, but also filled with the opponents of God. Jesus is going to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was about 30 miles from Galilee. Sidon was about 50 miles from Galilee. And Jesus goes to these places, and these places have associations for God's people. Tyre and Sidon were famous because the prophets denounced these cities. Jesus actually talks in chapter 11 about Chorazin and Bethsaida, who are worse than Tyre and Sidon because they would repent if they saw what you saw. He uses Tyre and Sidon as a template to compare the lack of repentance of those cities. Sidon was the place where Jezebel's mother, her father was king. Jezebel was born of a Sidonian king, 1 Kings 16:31. So this is a place where people who were historically the enemies of God live. And yet we know that the gospel has already gone forward, has already gone to the Gentiles in part. Jesus is very clear about his mission. He's sending the disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel. He tells them in chapter 10, you're going to the lost sheep of Israel. But there's been hints. This centurion comes up to him in chapter 8 and desires his servant to be healed. And because of the faith he expresses in Jesus Christ, he heals him from a distance. So he's able to do that. So why, when this woman comes to him, even though she's from this foreign land, the land of the historical enemies of God's people, why does Jesus respond in this way? A woman of Canaan comes up to him out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And she comes to him crying out, desiring mercy. You're told to behold at the beginning of this verse because you're about to see something that's extraordinary. This woman is going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is from Canaan. A word that is so specific in the Gospel of Matthew that it's not even used in the Gospel of Mark. She's called a Syrophoenician woman in that place, talking just simply about the region. But no, a woman of Canaan. And the Lord Jesus Christ hears this cry. Listen to what she says. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She asks for mercy. She calls him Lord, which you could take as a general term of recognizing that he is a teacher, he's a ruler. But then she says, son of David. The same language that the blind man in chapter 9 used to speak of Jesus Christ. Son of David. The Davidic Messiah. Where did she learn these words? We don't know. But we do know that it's a surprising clarity of mind that brings this woman to make this request. Have mercy, son of David, she says. And then she talks about a category of the human condition that only Jesus Christ can address. And she knows it. She's coming on behalf of her daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This is what brings this woman, born from the land of the ancient enemies of God's people, coming with knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, to ask him to please deliver her daughter from this devil. And she hears silence. Jesus does not answer her. This is the first test of this woman's faith. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the hearts of all of his people. He knows how they think. He knows how they work. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to draw out this woman. But in the meantime, he's focusing as well on his disciples. He answered her not a word. And she's not going to go away. This woman is pleading for her daughter, who has a devil on the inside of her. She is not prepared to give up. She is coming to the only one who has the resources, the power to deliver her daughter. And so she stays, even though he rebuffs her with silence. She knew that she was from the land of Tyre and Sidon. She knew that she was a Canaanite. She knew that the people of Israel tried to keep their nation pure by not interacting with the Gentiles, the ones they called dogs. She expected as much. But she's hanging in there because this is for her daughter. And so the disciples begin to be frustrated because she continues to cry out. And so they say to Jesus Christ, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, this language is much debated because some people say that they wanted Jesus to just tell her to leave without doing what she requested. But the way that Jesus answers them in the next verse gives us pause. He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's talking about his mission. And the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ has included casting out devils from people. He has already been doing that. It's more likely that the disciples are asking Jesus Christ to quickly give her what she wants and let her leave. Because she keeps bothering us. She keeps crying out. And we as disciples, we can't do anything about it. She continues. She's wailing. And they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can do something about it. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is sealing home to the disciples when he says, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," is the mission that he already began to express to them in chapter 10, where he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Chapter 10 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you have to understand what that phrase means. Lost sheep of the house of Israel. It could mean the people among the house of Israel who are still lost. Or it could mean the entire nation, people of Israel. If you read it in light of what it says in chapter 10, it means the whole people. Because it's in contrast to the Gentiles and the Samaritans in that chapter. They're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel goes first to the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews, we read in John 4:22. Salvation goes to the Jews. On one level, it's appropriate for the Lord Jesus Christ to be quiet and to tell his disciples that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The Pharisees certainly would have agreed with that. It was in keeping with the promises of God given through Abraham. But there was something else, wasn't there, when God said something to Abraham about the blessing that would come. In Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. There would come a great day when the gospel would go forth to the nations. And we've already seen hints of it in the Gospel of Matthew. But at this point, the gospel is to go to the Jews first. And the Lord Jesus Christ is clear about that. Even though he's the great Savior of the nations, at this point, the gospel must go to the Jews first. And Jesus Christ is clear about that, and he's making it clear to his disciples. It's echoing in their minds. Well, this woman has first heard silence, and then she's heard, "The Lord Jesus Christ was not sent to you." She's not giving up. No way. She has come this far to plead for her daughter. She has come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She has called him Son of David. She knows who he is. She has asked him to heal her daughter who is vexed with a devil. She knows that only he can do it. She has accepted the way that he is responding to her. He has responded to her with silence. And then he's spoken to his disciples and said that he is not sent to such a woman. Surprising. He's already enabled the centurion's servant to be healed from a distance. He's already begun to heal Gentiles. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows his people. And he is testing this woman's understanding of who he is. He has first tested her in regard to her understanding of him as the Son of David. Just because Jesus has the power, just because he is the Son of David, does not mean that he is automatically obligated to help someone that is not among the people of God that he is sent to help. He's tested her by speaking to his disciples about his mission. His mission is to go to the Jews first. But this woman now passes beyond the categories of the Son of David, the Jewish Messiah. She appeals to him as a mom. She comes to him and she worships him. She understands who he is. She kneels down before him. The language is the language of kneeling, the language of worship. It's the kind of response that Jesus Christ brought forth from his disciples in Matthew 28 after his resurrection. It's the kind of response that we saw among the disciples when Jesus Christ calmed the winds and the waves. When he walked across the sea. And she says these words, "Lord, help me." Just like a mom would. But we learn a whole lot about the simplicity of prayer. We learn a lot about the way that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, you have the categories in your head. You know that he is the Messiah. You know that he is the King. You know that he's the Lord. You know that he's the one who has power in the spiritual realm. But when it comes right down to it, are you desperate enough to know that you need simple help? And this woman doesn't say, simply, "Help my daughter." She says, "Help me." Why does she say that? She's been asking for her daughter to be helped. Her daughter was not there, previously vexed with the devil. It's because this woman is a mom. And she is identified so closely with her child that she needs help. Her daughter is in trouble and she can't do anything about it. "Help me." She's sincere when she prays that way. When she says that to Jesus Christ, "Help me. My daughter has a devil on the inside of her." And she's moved beyond the categories of just simply talking about him as the Son of David, as the even the Jewish Messiah that she might have to approach in a certain way. She's simply asking for help as a mom. And she knows he's the Lord. And yet, one more time, the Lord Jesus Christ is testing the limits of this woman's understanding, testing the foundation of her confidence that he will help her. He's probing it. It's a bit surprising the way the Lord Jesus Christ goes after this. It's kind of like how surprising it was when Solomon has these two women who claim to have this child that died and this child that's alive, and they both claim the child alive that's alive is theirs, and he asks for a sword. And he says, cut the child in half. And you're like, what? But it's because Solomon was given wisdom that came from God. This surprising statement of Solomon was designed to identify the mother. And lo and behold, she's the one who said, give the child to the other. That's the mother. And Jesus Christ knows all of this. And he knows that his mission is to the Jewish people. And he's identified that to the disciples. And so he speaks to her in terms of the Jewish people being children and the Gentile people being dogs. Now, dogs in the time of the writing of the Gospels were scavenger animals. They were not just, you know, typical house pets that were you know, crawling around and you held on to them, you know, while you read a scroll or something. They were scavenger animals. They're wandering around and they're unclean. They're extremely dirty, mangy mutts, like some of you view dogs today. That's what Gentiles were called by those who wanted to maintain cleanliness. And so at first glance, it seems like the Lord Jesus Christ is upholding what the Pharisees have already been talking about in the earlier verses of this chapter, this whole idea of staying pure by not interacting with them. He speaks of the Jewish people as children, and he speaks of the Gentiles as dogs. And he says, it is not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. This is the third time that he's rebuffed this woman, apparently. First he was silent. Then he talked to his disciples and said, I wasn't sent to people like that. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the people of the covenant. And now he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. There's nothing for the children then. This woman perseveres through the silence of Jesus Christ, through his announcement that he's the Jewish Messiah. And when she finally appeals to him for simple help, and she identifies herself with her daughter in her need and says, help me. Jesus Christ says this. But you see, this is a payoff that the Lord Jesus Christ has been waiting for. This is the insight, the understanding that this woman has. Yes, the gospel is going to the Jews first. But certainly there is some crumb that will be given to those who are within the sphere of the influence of this Messiah. She has come to him specifically for this purpose. So she accepts the terms. She understands that she's a Canaanite. She understands that she is not the people of God by birth, by biological lineage. She understands that she is not ritually clean in the sense that the Pharisees liked. She understands that she's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ on Gentile terms with a Gentile request of a mom made in the image of God. After the fall, at the time when the gospel is paused in its delivery to the Jews and is about to go forth to all people. What she answers expresses an understanding of the promise given to Abram. The promise that through Abram, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. She has an understanding of how Jesus Christ is poised and ready and able to help even her, even a dog. And she puts it this way, using the very language that Jesus Christ used. Truth, Lord. Yes. The people of the Jews are the children of God. I am a dog. I am one of the unclean people. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. There's a lot of discussion in the literature on this passage about the word that's used. It's a little, it's a word used for a little dog. So people want to argue about whether it's a house pet type dog. The Jews didn't really have house pets like that. Little dog, unclean, scavenger, little dog isn't much better. And your little dog too! Not much better. But she accepts the terms. Because all she wants is just a crumb of God's mercy, of the kindness of Jesus Christ. And she believes that is enough. She is the unclean one, but she is asking for even a crumb. And she's willing to put it in those terms. The Gentiles receiving the crumbs that fall from the table of their master. Who's the master? The Lord Jesus Christ. She's coming to God through Jesus Christ. And she's asking for simply a crumb. And she's pleading for it as a mom. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has been probing for, he receives out of her lips. He has caused her to say something about her faith that, compared to the disciples' faith, is huge. Look at what he says. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Old woman, great is thy faith." What has he been saying to the disciples? "Well, you have little faith." But he says to this woman, "Great is thy faith. I've pushed you off three times. I've called you a Gentile dog, and you are willing to accept crumbs because you know that that crumb is sufficient." And so he says, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ heals from a distance. He heals a woman who's from the land of Canaan, from the region of Tyre and Sidon. He heals this woman even though she is eligible at this point simply to receive crumbs from the master's table. And he heals her by simply pronouncing that it's done. And through the chapters that follow, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to begin to heal many. In fact, in the following verses, we see this summary statement of how he goes onto a mountain and great multitudes come to him from the Gentiles, and he heals massive numbers of people. But the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ did not heal this woman's daughter right away, no questions asked, was because by his questions, he was drawing forth her faith in him. This woman's great faith was like a trophy that needed to be displayed in a place of prominence. And now it's enshrined in the Word of God. This woman whose request was at first met with silence from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he turns away from her, turns his back to her, as it were, and speaks to his disciples about the lost sheep of Israel. This woman who heard that she was taking food that was meant for the children. And she's a dog. Continued to persevere for her daughter's sake, because she identified her daughter's need with her own. And she came to the source of deliverance. She came to Lord Jesus Christ. And like these little snippets that we have in the history of redemption, we're going to see Rahab tonight. We see Ruth in the history of redemption. This woman is here on the pages of Scripture as someone who is proclaimed in the Word of God through the lips of Jesus Christ to have great faith. Why? Because despite the category that she fit into, of being someone who could only receive crumbs, despite the fact that she wasn't part of the covenant people of God, the lost sheep of Israel, the people who had all of the knowledge and were rejecting the Messiah even as he speaks, she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive anything that he will grant. And she comes to him on his terms and she stays there. And we learn about faith. We learn about how important it is to come to Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance. We learn how coming to Lord Jesus Christ is important even when we're unclean. Especially when we're unclean, because there's no place else to go. The book of Ephesians says that without the covenants of promise, the Gentiles were without hope and without God in the world. But this woman walked away from a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ after hearing that her daughter was delivered from a devil from a distance. Hearing that she had great faith. All of the rhetorical strategies that the Lord Jesus Christ used were worth it. He knew her heart. He knew how she thought. He knew how she would respond. This interaction is so striking that one commentator even wants to say that the woman converted Jesus. No. No. But Holy Spirit given faith will not let go. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let go. And you have this promise in God's Word, as the Lord Jesus Christ puts it this way in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." In case you thought that this woman with great faith had the ability to cling to Lord Jesus Christ and not let go, and that it was only a one-sided experience, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear. The Lord Jesus Christ was holding on to her. She had been prepared for this moment. She understood the categories. She understood how to respond to being called a dog and to look simply for a crumb, like a house pet would receive. This woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ was her Savior. More right. You see, that's the way it is when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You're coming to one who knows you through and through. He knows how you work. He knows the needs of your life. And he knows how to provide for you.